Thank you, worship team, for leading us this morning. And God, again, as it move in the hearts of men with all creation, I sing. This morning, you can turn in your Bibles to Genesis chapter 1. God has laid upon my heart to speak about creation the first 5 days today. And he was at work in the heart of Brother Lowell and choosing songs that went so well with creation. And then I got to looking around behind me, and we have the Great Barrier Reef, and we have a eucalypt forest. So these are all seeing something that I can't pronounce, these are all from Australia, looking towards Bible school here in a couple of weeks. But looking at God's creation behind me, talking about God's creation in print here this morning, it is truly exciting. So I will be reading and studying mainly from the New King James Version, if you're following along. It's typically what I use, the New King James. And in Genesis 1, verse 1, it says, "In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. And the earth was out form and void, and darkness was on the face of the deep, and the Spirit of God was hovering over the face of the waters. And then God said, let there be light. And there was light. And God saw the light and that it was good. And God divided the light from the darkness. God called the light day, and the darkness he called night. So the evening and the morning were the first day." Brothers and sisters, what God has established, that thing cannot be undone. In verse 4, it says, God divided the light from the darkness. God separated the light from the darkness, and never did the two mix again. It seems strange for us to even think that dark and light would need to be separated. It is such a constant truth for us that darkness cannot mix with light, that it almost feels wrong to even think that they used to be mixed. I think it is recorded here for us today so that we would begin to understand that what God does, that thing, whatever it is, it cannot be undone. What God puts together does not come apart. And what God separates did not come back together, ever. We see in Genesis 1, verse 4, God establishing his authority. That is the title for the message this morning, God establishing his authority. In verse 6, it says, "And then God said, let there be a firmament in the midst of the waters, and let it divide the waters from the waters. Thus God made the firmament and divided the waters from which were under the firmament from the waters which were above the firmament, and it was so. And God called the firmament heaven, so that evening and morning were the second day." Now, I don't typically go to the NIV, but today I'm going to read the NIV. It helps me understand this passage a little clearer. So in the NIV, verse 6, 7, and 8, it says this, "And God said, let there be a vault between the waters to separate the water from the water. So God made the vault and separated the water from under the vault from the water that was above it, and it was so. And God called the vault sky. And it was evening and it was morning the second day." The second day is very important, actually. It seems like it took God all day to make the sky. Later on, we'll see it took half a day to make the fish and half a day to make the birds, but it took all day here to make the sky. He actually separated the waters that were on the earth from the waters that above the earth. So what he did was he created our atmosphere, joining science class now. God created our atmosphere. Our atmosphere, which is again is what God divided the waters here in Genesis 1:7, it's what protects us from the sun's harmful rays. We could not live without an atmosphere. We would fry. Our atmosphere protects us from UV lights. Our atmosphere is what makes it rain. It's what makes it snow. Our atmosphere is what burns up meteorites as they come, those little space rocks that come hurling at us. Our atmosphere burns those up into what we see as falling stars. Our atmosphere is what allows us to live and breathe here on Earth. Did you guys ever know the survival tip of how to make water in the desert or in any kind of a survival situation? It's pretty cool. So you dig a hole, and the bigger your hole and the deeper your hole, the more water you get. So you dig a hole and you place a cup in the bottom center of the hole. And then you take a piece of plastic across the hole. A clear plastic works the best, but you can use any plastic. And you take the dirt that you dug out of the hole and you put it around the plastic all the way around the edge to seal it completely. And you take a rock just the right size and you put it in the center of the plastic, and the rock pulls down the plastic so it creates a point which is right over your cup. And then when the sun comes up, the cool earth condensates on that piece of plastic, and the water drips into your cup. And you can take a drink in the desert. It works best in less arid, it's amazing, but for some reason, when it's high humidity, it doesn't work as well. It's hard to make it happen to get enough, more than a couple drips around here. But in a low humidity situation, it actually produces a decent amount of water. So there you have it. That is what our atmosphere is. Our atmosphere is that piece of plastic that allows a condensation so that we can have rain and snow and all that fun stuff. So it's interesting, but the word atmosphere is apnos, which is Greek, which is vapor, and sphere, which is ball or globe. So atmosphere, it's a vapor around our globe. And what God set in place, it is still there. What he has set in place, now it changed a little bit, but it's still there, what he has set in place. Verse 9, it says, back to the King James Version, or New King James Version, it says, "And then God said, let the waters under the heavens be gathered together into one place, and let dry land appear. And it was so. And God called the dry land earth, and the gathering of the waters he called seas, and God saw that it was good. And then God said, let the earth bring forth grass and herb that yields seed and fruit, and the fruit tree that yields fruit according to its kind, whose seed is in itself on the earth. And it was so. And the earth brought forth grass and herb that yields seed according to its kind, and the tree that yields fruit, whose seed is in itself according to its kind. And God saw that it was good. And evening and morning were the third day." I'm sorry, somehow my papers are not in order. Okay. So on day 3, we have the dry land and the seas. Verse 9 describes God gathering the waters together in one place. This reads like, well, let's look at verse 9 again. "And let the waters under the heavens be gathered together into one place, and let dry land appear. And it was so." So this would read like we have one ocean and one continent. But today we have 5 oceans and 7 continents. At least that's what they're teaching now. Maybe some of you have been schooled a long time ago. They didn't teach me. We had 4 oceans and we had 6 continents. But now they have 5 oceans, and they have 7 continents. So the oceans are the Atlantic Ocean, the Pacific Ocean, the Indian Ocean, the Arctic Ocean, and today they count the Antarctic Ocean. Those are the 5 oceans, and the 7 continents are North America, South America, Europe, Asia, Africa, Australia, and Antarctica is now a continent, Antarctica. Funny thing is, just a little, so you can quiz your teachers on this, for those of you in school, if you're not from North or South America, there's only 6 continents. I found this out. Europe and Australia and everybody considers America as one continent. But we live here, we call it North and South. But anyhow, so a little trivia there. There's seven continents. How did that happen? What? So obviously it says in verse 9 that there was a continent. The land was gathered together in one place. And there's a clue of what happened. It's found in Genesis 10, verse 25. And I love this when I found this through Answers in Genesis years ago. And you can turn there. It's Genesis 10, verse 25. And this is in the middle of a genealogy. It says, to Eber were born two sons. The name of one was Peleg, for in his days the earth was divided. And his brother's name was Jokathan. Crazy, huh? Right in the middle of the genealogy of Noah in Genesis chapter 10, and a chapter before the Tower of Babel, which is chapter 11. Okay, but first we got to understand that when you read the Bible, what is written isn't necessarily written in chronological order. So the things that are written aren't necessarily in order of what actually happened. So we're reading the genealogy in chapter 10, but when we get to the middle of Jokathan, it is fairly certain that the Tower of Babel had already happened. So it says, in the days of Peleg, the earth was divided. So let's go to Genesis 11, and we're talking about the Tower of Babel. Genesis 11, verse 5. It says, and the Lord came down to see the city and the tower which the sons of men had built. And the Lord said, indeed, the people are one, and they all have one language. And this is what they begin to do. Now nothing that they propose to do will be withheld from them. Come, let us go down and there confuse their language, that they may not understand one another's speech. So the Lord scattered them abroad from there over the face of all the earth. And they ceased building the city. So obviously there was one continent, right? Because God scattered them across the face of all the earth and they could get there. And therefore the name of the place is called Babel, because the Lord confused the language of the people. And from there the Lord scattered them abroad over the face of all the earth. And then it continues into Shem's descendants in verse 10. It says, this is the genealogy of Shem, who was the son of Noah. Shem was 100 years old and begot Arphaxad 2 years after the flood. And after he begot Arphaxad, Shem lived 500 years and begot sons and daughters. And Arphaxad lived 35 years and begot Selah. And after he begot Selah, Arphaxad lived 403 years and begot sons and daughters. And Selah lived 30 years and begot Eber. And Eber, after he begot Eber, Selah lived 403 years and begot sons and daughters. And Eber lived 34 years and begot Peleg. Hey, there's that same guy. After he begot Peleg, Eber lived 430 years and he begot sons and daughters. And Peleg lived 30 years and begot Reu. And after he begot Reu, Peleg lived 209 years and begot sons and daughters. So we find Peleg again mentioned in the genealogy between Shem and Abraham. And if I did the math right, somewhere between 101 years and 209 years, which would be the lifespan of Peleg, the earth is what shifted and the Tower of Babel happened. And then notice, I'm not going to get into this, but it's fun to note, the length of life expectancy changed drastically. 400 years, 500 years, 400 years, and Peleg was 200 years. And then 200 years, then 119, and then 200 years. It changed something. I'm not going to get into that, but it's interesting to note. So all the way down to, again, Abraham, through the descendants. So back to Genesis 1. We're still on day 3. Isn't this exciting? On day 3, verse 12, it says, and the earth brought forth grass, the herb that yields seed according to its kind, and the tree that yields fruit whose seed is in itself according to its kind, and God saw that it was good. And brothers and sisters, ever since then, an oak tree makes acorns that grow an oak tree. Ever since. Grass grows seed that grows more grass. Dandelions make dandelion seeds that float away and make more dandelions. And from here in verse 12 of Genesis 1 until today and beyond, apple trees will always grow apples that will make more apple trees. Never does a peach grow into an apricot. Doesn't happen. Never do you plant a weed and get a watermelon. Doesn't happen. Never does a bean grow into a cucumber. Thank goodness. What God says cannot be changed, and it cannot be altered. What God has established cannot be undone. In fact, what happens when you genetically change a plant? It becomes sterile. It cannot reproduce. For again, what God has established, that thing cannot be undone. God is establishing his authority. Continuing on in Genesis 1, verse 14. And then God said, "Let there be lights in the firmament of the heavens to divide the day from the night. And let them be for signs and seasons, for days and years. And let them be for lights in the firmament of the heavens to give light to the earth." And it was so. And then God made two great lights, the greater light to rule the day and the lesser light to rule the night. He made the stars also, and God set them in the firmament of the heavens to give light on the earth and to rule over the day and over the night and to divide the light from the darkness. And God saw that it was good. And the evening and the morning were the fourth day. And here we find on day four, what did God make in verse 14? Let there be lights in the firmament of the heavens to divide the day from the night, and let them be for signs and seasons and for days and for years. This is where time began. There was no other time before this time. God does not need time. He is eternal. God made time. God is not bound by time. He does not live inside of time. God is not restricted by time. We who live inside of time often feel like God should work inside of time too. That would be like having God work inside of the bounds of nature because he created nature. God does not work inside of the bounds of time because he made time. Time is so fundamental to our understanding of life that it invades even our very speech and language to the point that it's difficult to talk without referencing some point of time. Try it this afternoon. Try to have a conversation without referencing any time. How are you doing today? Oops. How was your week? What are you doing tomorrow? Where are you guys going this afternoon? Can we stop by next Friday? How was your doctor's appointment last week? How long have your parents been married? It took me 2 hours to mow the yard yesterday. It's hard to believe your little one's 6 months already. Did you hear that I'd like to hike the Appalachian Trail next year for a week? Luke and Karen are celebrating their anniversary weekend away this weekend. Andrew is hiking with a few fathers and their sons from here for a couple of days. Every sentence references time in some way. We are so stuck inside of time. We are so surrounded and controlled by time that we think God must be too, but he is not. We are not him. Allow him to be God. And apart from the time that he created. What God has established cannot be undone. It cannot be stopped. It cannot be changed. Well, you can change the face of your clock by an hour or something, but it's not stopping time. You can shut your phone off and you turn it on, it's the time still passed. You cannot stop what God started. What God set in motion and established, we cannot alter. We are futile to even think if we can stop time. Of course, if you have enough money, you can maybe slow down the appearance of your aging. But it doesn't stop time. Do you have any idea how much money people waste in being entertained by shows and movies and books that depict time travel? That depict getting around the boundary of time? It's fascinating for us. By finding a fountain of youth, or by using evil spirits, or by time traveling in a special fancy car that lightning bolt travels in, you know? Or by out of space abnormalities, whatever. Things in outer space, black holes or whatever, we think, oh, that'd be cool. We as humans are fascinated by the thought of escaping time. But wait, time is what God made. And all the depictions and stories and movies that show time as something that we humans can get around is actually going against what God has made. Be careful. Please don't fantasize about escaping from what God made. It is His creation. And at the end of day three, God said, "It is good." So don't knock what God made. Enjoy your time. For in it, He has established His authority, and it cannot be changed. Going back to verse 16, he kind of sneaks something right there in the middle that I can't miss. Verse 16 says, "Then God made two great lights, the greater light to rule the day and the lesser light to rule the night. He made the stars also." Just one little five-word sentence kind of snuck into the end of verse 16. "He made the stars also." Who else could have done that? Nobody. What other worldly explanation could there possibly be for the existence of stars? A random explosion? Not a chance. Not a chance. And you can debate with somebody. Has ever order come out of chaos? Never. Has ever an explosion resulted in anything other than destruction? Order has never come from an explosion. It doesn't happen. I used to live in Colorado. It's where I met my wife at Rocky Mountain Mennonite Camp. It was 9,600 feet on the backside of Pikes Peak. You can't see the top of Pikes Peak because we were too close to it. We could see above tree line, but we could not see the top of Pikes Peak because we were too far up. Pikes Peak's over 11,000 feet and we were at 9,600. Tree line was at 10,000 feet, so I was only about 400 feet from just below tree line. And tree line is very interesting. Tree line is actually, it's not like... tree line is where there's no more oxygen for trees to grow. So the trees stop growing at a certain level. And it's kind of cool because as you come up the mountain, there's tall trees and then they get a little shorter and they get a little shorter and a little shorter. And right at tree line, there's little tiny trees, but they don't get any taller than that. It's really weird. It's like a big weed eater whacked them off. So now, of course, if you're, this is on a level, of, you know, a pretty standard sloping topography. Of course, if there's valleys and dips and hills and different terrain, wherever there's enough oxygen, if there's a draw that's a little deep and a little oxygen comes up there, trees might be a little higher up. But pretty much, you'll see the big tree as the mountain comes up, the shorter tree into like no tree because there's no oxygen above there. So when you're that high up there, there's not much smog. There's not any filth to look through. And you're much closer to the stars at 9,600 feet. The stars are incredible. in Colorado. I have seen my shadow and seen my fingers in my shadows with no moon. That's how bright the stars are. It's incredible. It's so clear and bright that you can, with your naked eye, watch the satellites go. They're fast. You can see them as they orbit the Earth. I'm sure there's a whole lot more than back in whenever that was. 1990, I think it was. Probably a lot more satellites, but we could see them with your naked eye to see the satellites go. That's how clear it is. And I've laid out in my sleeping bag, when they have a meteorite shower around here, you know, you hear a little bit about it, but, you know, you don't really go out. You might look up, you know. But when there's a meteorite shower and you're at 9,000 feet, it's an event that the staff at camp often takes their sleeping bags and lays out on the rocks, because that's the only flat spot is a rock out there. It's either up or down, and you got some flat rocks. So you bring your sleeping bag out, and you lay down, and you watch God show. And it is phenomenal. Down here, you see, you know, oh, there goes one, and there goes one. Oh, you see that one. You start that, but you soon miss one because you're talking. There's so many of them. So you end up just being silent. And you can't move because they're just, every time you turn, you miss one. It's phenomenal. And ever since then, fireworks just aren't the same. The awe of silence in that situation has really ruined me for being excited about big booms. Fireworks just don't do much for me. When I saw God's creation and a meteorite shower at that elevation, it was phenomenal. Again, the stars, what God has set in place, what's mentioned in Scripture of the Great Bear, is still mentioned today of the Great Bear, whether it's in Job or today's scientific journals. What God has established, it's still there. It is by His authority the stars are there, and we're still witnessing that today. From creation on, He has established His authority. Back to Genesis 1, verse 20. And then God said, let the waters abound with a living abundance of creatures, and let birds fly above the earth across the face of the firmament of the heavens. So God created great sea creatures and every living thing that moves, with which the waters abound according to their kind, and every winged bird according to its kind. And God saw that it was good, and God blessed them, saying, be fruitful and multiply and fill the waters in the seas, and let birds multiply on the earth. So evening and the morning were the fifth day. And God created all the fish and all the sea creatures and all the birds on day five. Talk about diversity. It took him half a day to make all the birds. I can't grasp that. The songs that they sing, the colorations that they have, and the fish. All of the colors of the fish in half a day. I can't grasp it. God loves creativity and He loves diversity. He made all the colorful fish, even the fish that are way, way down deep, the angler fish that have the little thing that hang over their nose that glow in the dark, that bait other little fish and then they eat them. It's amazing. The angler fish. And then the clownfish, the little tiny orange fish that hangs out in the Great Barrier Reef that I don't see a picture of, but there's a sea turtle. He made the sea turtles too. All of the diversity of the fish. You can go to the Florida Keys and snorkel down there and see all kinds of colors of fishes. It is amazing just around the bridges that goes out to the Keys. You can just hop off and go snorkeling and see all kinds of tropical fish. Just the diversity is amazing, and God made all of those things. And they all have specific markings and colorations. And they all have to find their exact mate. They all, birds and fish, have to find their exact species mate. So if evolution were true, and if things evolved, In my logical head, I would think that all the birds would look the same by now. But no, they're still very unique and ever so different. In fact, if the birds go a little wild and they intermingle, and they actually happen to have offspring, again, they're sterile and they can't reproduce. What God has established cannot be changed. God said to each of the bird and to each of the fish, according to their kind, and they have not mixed since. What God has set in place cannot change. What God has done cannot be altered. God's authority is still very much present in our world today when you look at the different fish and all the different birds. The creativity of our God is just complexly awesome. His creativity is complexly awesome. There is none like our God, and what he has done still is today. Do not miss seeing God for the trees. Do not miss worshiping God for all the different songbirds with all their different distinct colors. In fact, there's an app. It's really cool. My wife just got it. It's called Merlin ID, and you can download it on your smartphone, and it listens and tells you what bird is singing. It's pretty cool. And you can sit at your porch, or you can go to the mountains or wherever you want to go, and you listen, and it will tell you what bird is singing. And if you click on it, it tells you the different songs that it sings and all that kind of stuff. It is amazing. It looks like my wife is lost when we're walking around the park, but it's really cool. It has, again, just blessed me by the diversity and the complexity that God has made. And all of those birds do not intermix. They don't mix. They don't cross. They don't become something else. They are according to their kind because God has established it, and it has not and cannot change. I remember a long time ago when my children were very little, we had an exchange student from Tokyo, and his name was Takuya. I don't know, his name sticks. My wife and I both remember his name, but our sons were 10, 8 something. I mean, they were small, and he was 15 or 16, and he came from Tokyo, Japan. And we got him all settled in his room and everything. The next morning, I got up to go to work, and we couldn't find him. And we're like, where did he go? And he's out in the front yard, just standing there in our front yard. I'm like, what's he doing? So I walked out, and I said, good morning. He said, shh, birds. I was like, poor guy, never heard birds before. But it was impactful to me that some 15-year-old something, 16-year-old young man had never heard. Brothers and sisters, we are blessed where we live to hear God's creation. Don't miss it. Because what he has established, it is still. And it is here, and it's by his authority. Glorify God for his marvelous works. His works cannot be changed or altered. And in Luke 12:24, it says, consider the ravens, for they neither sow nor reap, which they have neither storehouse nor barn, and God feeds them. How much more valuable are you than the birds? Amen. Let's pray. Dear God, again, we are so thankful for your word, for the way that it encourages us. God, we are so thankful for the truths that just do not grow old, that do not weaken. God, your authority is established, and we praise you for that this morning. God, it is, again, with humble ears that we hear birds. It is with a humble mind that we think of the fish. And God, you care for those creatures, and you promise to care for us. Help us to see your care for us as we observe and live and interact with your beautiful creation. Help us to remember to bring you the honor and the glory and the awe that you are due. And God, give us boldness as we interact with this world. Give us grace in words that we're to say and boldness of things and when we're to speak, because God, you do not change. And the evidences of your finger works are here. God, help us to share with those we meet the greatness of who you are through the beauty of your creation, God. Again, we are humbled with the way that you have blessed us. Help us honor you in all that we do. In Jesus' name, amen. The chorister, please come and lead us in the closing song.
Stand together and sing about this mighty power of God, number 127. 127. I sing the mighty power of God that made mountains rise, that spread the flowing seas abroad, and built the lofty skies. I sing the wisdom that ordained the sun to rule the day. The moon shines full at his command, and all the stars obey. I sing the goodness of the Lord that filled the earth with food. He formed the creatures with his word and then pronounced them good. Lord, how thy wonders are displayed wherever I turn my eye. If I serve makes the